you want to do?
I have it.
Okay, yes, sir.
Sir, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
My name is Jesus Gonzalez. The ADC number is 253-316.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the two alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on November 15th, 2017. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you can hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Seeing no attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes, I am.
I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. You can see us on the teleconference screen. To my extreme far left at the end of the bench is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. After him is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. At the center of the bench is our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. My name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for this hearing. And to my right is Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Also present in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Oliveri. He will be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Before we get started, I need to swear you and your guest and Mr. Oliveri in. So, Mr. Gonzalez, Ms. Salcido, is it? And Mr. Oliveri, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes, sir.
Miss?
Yes. I do.
Thank you. Mr. Gonzalez, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be determined if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. I will begin phase one by reading the allegations to you from the warrant of arrest. When I read them to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections and then we can talk about it. The board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions, and that is for phase one. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I will read from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a couple of ways or company as follows. Oh, and pardon me, I forgot to mention, there's a department report number associated with this case, which means that there is the possibility of a pending charge, an additional charge that you may have picked up while outside of the prison system. So when I ask you, when I read the allegations to you, you have the choice of saying true, false, or you wish to remain silent. And we have the remain silent choice because this hearing is being recorded. Do you understand?
Okay, yes, sir.
That's for your rights. So, again, according to the warrant of arrest, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a criminal ways or company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number five, was demonstrated by engagement in physically assaulted behavior on September 22nd, 2017 in Maricopa County, Arizona. Mr. Gonzalez, is this true, false, or do you wish to remain silent?
It's false.
Thank you, sir. And allegation number two, violation of condition number seven is demonstrated by your use of alcohol on or about September 22nd, 2017 per the Phoenix Police Department incident report dated September 22nd, 2017. Mr. Gonzalez, is that true, false, or do you wish to remain silent?
That's false.
Okay, sir. Because you've stated false, we're going to have to take follow-up information from our community corrections officer. So if you'll just remain on the phone, we will take that information from Mr. Oliveri and get back to you shortly. Okay, sir?
Okay.
Mr. Oliveri.
Allegation number one, from the Phoenix Police Department Incident Report 2017-00001664003, written by Officer Rojas, badge number 10181. On September 22nd of 2017, at the approximate time of 0447 hours, Officer Rojas arrested Jesus Gonzalez for slapping victim Vanessa Salcido in the face, causing her nose to bleed and be cut on her forehead. Vanessa Salcido stated she got her scratched on her forehead when she was pinned to the bed by Jesus Gonzalez and was trying to get him off her. Jesus Gonzalez also punched the back black vanity mirror in the bedroom after he assaulted her. Vanessa Salcido's juvenile's children were present during the incident and overheard it. The offender was transported to the Maryville precinct. Follow-up number one, the offender was booked into Maricopa County Jail on a misdemeanor charge of domestic violence assault and on a misdemeanor charge of domestic violence criminal damage.
Okay, I'll let you read the second one in a second. That one's a bit lengthy. Mr. Gonzalez, what is false about that allegation?
I never hit her. I never put my hand on her. And I was the one who called the cops that night to get away from the incident. We had an argument. And allegation number two is it states that they asked me if there was alcohol involved. I said yes. There was. I said she had a couple of beers, and they stated Officer Rojas wrote in his statement saying that I said we. I never said we. I said she.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and have Mr. Oliveri read the second allegation just for clarification. I know you already answered that, but we need it for the record. Go ahead, Mr. Oliveri.
Yeah. Allegation number two, per the Phoenix Police Department Incident Report 2007-00001664003, written by Officer Rojas, badge number 10181. On September 22nd, 2017, at the approximate time of 0457 hours, Officer Rojas read that Jesus Gonzalez's Miranda warning. When Jesus Gonzalez was asked if he had any alcohol during the incident, he admitted to having drank two beers around 1900 hours.
Thank you, Mr. Oliveri. And again, I'll open it up again to you, Mr. Gonzalez, but it sounds like you already answered the question. Do you have anything else you'd like to answer, add to that, pardon me?
Yeah, Officer Ross had asked me, I was already in handcuffs, and he said, was there any alcohol involved? I said, she had a few beers earlier, and he assumed I said weed. Upon arrival at the precinct, I was issued a breathalyzer, and I don't even know. That's why I was in charge of the drinking that night, because I passed the breathalyzer and I wasn't drinking. And he said, well, it stated I had a few beers at around 7 o'clock. He said, this was about 3 in the morning. He said, it wouldn't be in your system anymore anyway, so.
Okay, I'm a little confused on this, and I'm just going to stop for 1 second. Mr. Oliveri, we're going with Phoenix's report. Was there any follow-up on his breathalyzer?
Not within the warrant. I'm attempting to access Copland to see if I can obtain a copy of that police report.
Just 1 second, Mr. Gonzalez.
Okay.
I sir.
A review of Copland has not shown the incident report listed.
Okay.
I'm not showing any recent arrests for this offender since 2010.
Well, based on the process, I'm going to take the reports from Phoenix Police Department at face value and move through phase one. So I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is based on information provided in warrant number 2017W3404, as well as the follow-up information provided through the Department of Corrections. I move to find Mr. Gonzalez delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and that he may have or have lapsed in the criminal laser company.
Second.
Okay, Mr. Gonzalez, this is only the first phase of the hearing. We haven't, it's in the second phase that we determine revocation, so just bear with us.
Okay.
Okay, sir, we're now in the second phase. During this phase, we will determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. Before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Oliveri, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information. If you'll just remain on the phone, we will come back to you momentarily and you'll have a chance to speak to the board. Thank you, sir. Mr. Oliveri.
Offender Gonzalez was released from the Department of Corrections on December 9th of 2016. He was arrested in office on October 4th of 2017, returned back to DOC custody that same day. He has 0 days of scone. His supervision end date will be on February 10th of 2018. Current conviction, 2009, burglary, first degree, 8 years, 3 months. There are no prior convictions noted. He has only one term with ADC. CU and IR scores are a 4 of 4, mental health score of a 1, and a substance abuse score of a 2. STG gang information, he is a suspect with the New Mexican Mafia, and also a suspect with the Cashin Park Locos criminal street gang. There are no prior terms of supervision noted. He has a moderate disciplinary history, drugs and violence noted. Other arrest, 2007, minor with a firearm, Arizona juvenile probation. 2008, shoplifting, Arizona juvenile probation. 2008, misconduct involving weapons, Arizona juvenile probation. 2008, minor with a firearm, Arizona juvenile probation. And in 2009, assist a criminal syndicate leading gang, Arizona felony conviction probation. His community risk level is a G4B5. And status of charges, an email was received from Senior Parole Officer Charles Rich on Thursday, November 16th of 2017. Charges have been dismissed.
Okay, Mr. Gonzalez, back to you. I'm going to go through your case supervision summary briefly. It looks like that you are approved to reside with your mother, Catalina Hernandez, in Avondale. Stated that you're kicked out of the house by your mother, that you're approved to reside with Sylvia Martinez, your girlfriend's mother, at 4507 East St. Catherine Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. No other residence has been approved. Regarding employment, you referred to Workforce Connection, employed at TCK Service Group, Glendale. Then you're employed with Markham Contracting. Also reference to working with SAK Electric and Plumbing. And then Semtec Concrete. So I certainly commend you for looking for work. It looks like you worked at several locations when you were outside, sir. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I've never been fired. Every time I've switched jobs, it's for better opportunities, better pay, and benefits.
Okay, you refer to ADC Corrections Accountability Program. You missed 8 classes. You didn't complete the program due to your arrest. You referred to task for random drug testing with the color peach. Almost all of your tests were negative with one exception that says no sample collected. So I'm going to take those negatives as a big positive, if you will. But what happened with the one that wasn't collected?
I lost my ID, and I had to inform my parole officer, and he he was aware, he made me go and drop the following, the very following day, but I had lost my ID, I lost my credit cards. I was under, they stole my identity or something when I lost my ID. I don't know how to explain all that, but that's why I missed just one time. I know which one you're talking about. But my parole officer, Bobby, was informed of it. That morning, we actually tried to use a school ID, but a task wouldn't accept it. So.
Okay, sir. I think one of the issues that stands out is that you were referred to the CAP program and you missed 8 classes. So why did you miss so many classes?
Yes, sir. I missed 8 classes. The first two, I wasn't even aware I was in that program. So there's no excuse for that. The only other ones, I was working a full-time job, concrete, and I was also enrolled in a UTI, so between work and school, it was hard to get there on time sometimes, and I missed a few classes. I was, before I got arrested this time, I was still attending classes. I had a few to go, so it wasn't like I had dropped out, I never attended. I was still attending them. It's just, it was kind of hard with work and school because I had a full-time job still waiting, and I am still enrolled in school. I'm enrolled in a University Technical Institute, and there's stuff out there. But I did everything I could to stay in classes and to stay working in school.
Okay, Mr. Gonzalez. Here's a concern, and that is, should this board vote to return you to community supervision? We're 5 individual voting members, so we vote individually. We vote in the open. But should this board return you to community supervision, are you going to be able to stick by the conditions of supervision? Because if you have a parole officer that says you're going to take these classes again, and I do respect that you are working, that means a lot. Someone comes out and is looking for work or is moving from job to job and improving their work status, I'm not going to ignore that. But there's also the business of the conditions of supervision. So if this board released you, would you be able to keep up with any classes or schooling that were assigned to you by the parole officer? And I only say that because if the board did vote to return to community supervision, we wouldn't want to see you again, because the first thing that happened is that you wouldn't attend your CAP classes or do any of the programs that were directed by a parole officer.
No, yes, sir. I would have no problems or no issues. They'd be my priority. It was just hard at first because, like I said, I didn't even know I was in that class for the first 2, so technically, in my eyes, I only missed 6, but it was just, you know, with traffic, because my work and school schedule, I would get out at 5, and class started at 5:15, so, sometimes traffic, I'd get there real late, and it'd keep me out, I wouldn't be accepted, but, anything that would be asked from a parole officer, whether it be continue my classes, because like I said, I was still in them, or take more classes, whatever would be asked would be done, because my freedom is a priority, and successfully finishing parole is a big priority to me.
I guess I might as well ask this question now, and that is, are you really ready to turn the corner? Because, look, there's no question that you had a big juvenile gang history. Lots of weapons misconduct violations as a juvenile. There was an actual probation for assisting a gang syndicate in 2005. You were in prison in the first place, or at least on this last round, for burglary. So, where are you at now?
That's a good question. And I feel, since my release in December, I've held the job the whole time. I was on covers, task covers daily, and I've never done anything wrong. In my eyes, sir, I changed my life for the better. I have a woman and kids now. I have a family. Something to look forward to. I was young and dumb then, and drugs and guns were a big part of my life. But I don't hang around with nobody like that no more. I work and go home. Excuse my voice. I work and go home. I don't have a drug problem, which my task should have shown. And I was young then, my juvenile passed. And since being released from prison, I was released a man. And all I was doing was working to support my family. And that's all. I was going to school to better my life and stay away from the streets.
Sir, two quick questions. One, you said you're going to UTI. Is that what you said? What were you studying?
Yes, sir. Automotive and diesel there.
And you said something that I thought was pretty powerful, and that was that you don't hang around people like that anymore. So I hope you mean that, because that's a big thing. When people decide to get away from the influence, I think that's when we see success. I'm going to go ahead and ask you, is your wife,
fiance,
if she'd like to address the board at this point, okay, sir? Okay, hold on, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Any questions from Mr. Gonzalez?
I just have two questions.
Yes, sir, sorry about that, Mr. Johnson.
Sir, Mr. Gonzalez, why were you kicked out of your mom's house?
I wasn't kicked out. I wanted to leave because me and her were bumping heads, because if she, how do I put it, without kind of making her look bad. Like I said, I was working, doing everything right, and I didn't get the credit where credit was due. You know, they thought I was using drugs. Little did they know I was at task that day or whatever, but they always just accused me of certain things, and I kind of kicked myself out because I was doing all I could to stay out of trouble, to better my life, and my own mother was kind of putting me down, and I don't even speak to her because of this.
Okay, so I just have just one more question. What was the argument over that brought about the police involvement?
She thought I was cheating on her.
Okay.
And she was a little drinking, and I learned the hard way that hell had no fury, had a woman's scorn, and that was it. I called the cops myself. But once the cops get there, under domestic violence laws, somebody's going to jail, and I couldn't send her to jail. The mother of the children, you know, I couldn't do that to her. They asked me if I wanted to press charges on her, and I can't do that.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Gonzalez.
Yes, sir.
Any further questions from the board for Mr. Gonzalez? Okay, Ms. Salcido, would you like to come to the podium and address the board? Whether you could state your name for the record?
Vanessa Salcido.
And what would you like to share with the board, ma'am?
He's very I had a few drinks and I lied. And he was doing really good the whole time he was out. And I just feel really bad for putting him in a situation like this because he doesn't deserve it.
I think my colleague did a good job of asking the question about that. I was going to ask you as well. So am I correct in understanding that you guys got in an argument?
Yeah.
Here's my concern, and I will tell you as one voting board member, I'm not saying that this is the tipping point as to how I vote, but I think under the domestic violence laws, for the remainder of his time on community supervision, there's some separation issues.
He will not have any contact with Vanessa for the duration of the supervision.
So, that's fine. I mean, if we can continue.
Yes, I'm just saying, I want to make sure you understand that. I don't want any false illusions about dealing with the criminal justice system or corrections.
That's fine, as long as he can go back to school and do what he was doing.
Okay. I'll see my fellow board members. Any questions for you?
That was
kind of
concern.
Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the board?
No, that's it.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, hold on.
Oh.
Ms. Alcina, you do understand that he was put back out on community supervision and he had any contact with you, whether it was a phone or a pager or whatever, that he could be revoked and sent back just for that?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to risk that.
Again, I don't know how this board's going to vote today, and we're taking in a lot of information, but I will say this, regardless of how it goes, it is 2 months and 19 days, so one way or the other, I'm asking you to hold your own,
yeah.
And because you don't need any more problems, right?
I know.
Right. Thank you, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Okay, back to you, Mr. Gonzalez. We're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there anything else you would like to share with the board? We really ask that you don't repeat yourself, but this is your hearing, so is there anything else you would like to share?
I would just like to go back to my juvenile. Back then, I understand that I was not a part of society, I was a big threat, but I've grown up in here, and I'm no longer a threat to society. I've become a law-abiding citizen to the best of my abilities, and I want to finish my career and continue to be the best version of myself and continue to do what I was doing, be productive, and grow and show that I've been rehabilitated, and I'll do whatever it takes to be reinstated, and if that means, me and her can't have contact, can't do any of that's fine, because I want the best for me, and I'm sure she does too. She's who pushed me to get into school and to better myself, because me, I didn't assume school would accept me because of my background, but, it helps to have somebody there that has your best interest, and she is that woman, and she helped push me along, and I thank her for that. I'm not mad at her for this. I'm not, I don't hold no anger, no animosity towards her. To my knowledge, I've done everything I could to change my life. My life is on the right track, and yeah, it's only a few months I have to be in here, but it's a few months that not going to school, not working, not doing the things I love. And, if that means we can't stay together, we can't do nothing. It's a sacrifice I'm willing to make as long as I can get back into school. Because I love school. A little bit I know, I'm good at fixing cars. I'm good at trying to build this career that I like, And I want to continue that. I also want to say my job was waiting for me. I'm the lead man for the biggest concrete company in Arizona, Suntech Concrete, and like I said, just a few months ago, I'm a lead man, which shows how much drive and passion I have, and how much of a hard worker I am, you know, and I want to continue that as well.
Thank you, sir. Our board chairman has a follow-up question for you.
Just one quick question. Based upon what you already heard, you could not reside with your fiance. You and your mother, y'all have had a falling out. So where would you reside, sir, if this board were to release you? Where would you stay?
My sisters.
Who were with your sisters? I mean,
just her husband and their kid.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Okay, Mr. Gonzalez, we're getting, it's about the end of our hearing here. The board is going to be going into discussion. It may sound like they're having a discussion with you, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself? So we just ask that you remain quiet, remain on the phone, and we'll get back to you shortly with a decision. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I'm reminded that this is not an easy job when you look at the totality of a case, so I'll try to simplify. Phoenix Police Department dropped the original charges that got us here in the first place, and that does not always mean that we won't revoke, because there may be other pieces to the totality of the case that still suggest that an individual is lapsing in the criminal razor company. He was doing well on his your analysis. I think it's important to note that he was clean. I recognize that he was having some conflict in adhering to his classes. But I am convinced he was working very hard during that time too, when we've had quite a bit of discussion here about what's going to be required of him should this board vote to return him to community supervision. I think that's where I want to be in the discussion. Yes, sir, Ms. Rittenhouse.
I really appreciate Mr. Gonzalez's attitude towards school. I have also worked full-time and gone to school, and it's very difficult. It pretty much takes every minute of your time, so I certainly commend him for that. I believe him in his description of the incident. I believe both of them that that's what happened. I would support reinstating.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. For the board members.
I'll just make one comment again.
Yes, sir, doctor.
Just for the information, I know I asked the question before, I asked him where he would stay. However, his parole officer would make that decision. That would not be his call. That would be his parole officer's call. He might want to stay with his sister, but the parole officer would have to do that investigation and all of that. That would not be, he could not make that decision. I just want to clear that.
Thank you, doctor.
I agree. I think Mr. Sassiba deserves another opportunity. My feeling on it is personally is that it's a hard thing when you're trying to do the right thing and nobody's believing or trusting you that you're trying to do the right thing and have the faith in you. So I feel like that, you know, I want to give Mr. Gonzalez the opportunity to, you know, continue his life and have faith in him that he'll be able to do that and continue his community supervision and remain productive and be a productive citizen out there, and also be hopefully a role model for those coming behind him of how they can change and turn their life around and become positive and be a productive citizen. And he appears to feel good about himself to be able to do something positive with working and going to school and doing something positive that he feels good about himself. And I think that's a key part of it. So.
Mr. Neal?
I wanted to say that over the years I had a lot of dealings with students from UTI. and some of those trade schools like that, young people from all over the country that have the choice of going to that kind of school or going to jail type thing. But UTI seems to have a much better group of students than that. And even though they don't have a good reputation all the time, but they are. And my contact with them has been over a lot of years, and it's been very consistent. So it's my point being, it's a very good school, and being a mechanic is a good way to move forward in the society. Cars get harder to work on, and all that stuff. So I'm in favor of putting them back out there, letting them finish up.
Okay, thank you, fellow board members. I'm going to make a motion and we'll see where it lands. I'm going to make a motion to continue community supervision for Mr. Gonzalez, ADC number 253316, under the same conditions and amended conditions. And I will say, I think the same conditions pretty much stand. Probably the largest concern is him keeping up with whatever programming is assigned to him by his parole officer. So I'm going to check placement at parole officer's discretion. I'm going to just simply state that must enter and successfully complete treatment program that offers, and then treatment program at parole officer's discretion, such as CAP, that's at the parole officer's discretion. And our standard for the parole officer to start revocation process upon the first positive, diluted, missed, unsuitable for testing or unexcused UA. I'm going to ask if we agree on this one, because he missed one this last time for work reasons, and I'd hate that to be the reason for revocation. Do we?
Can you add for the parole officer's discretion?
I can check that and then start parole officer's discretion.
And that way, if there was a legit reason like you had this time,
I like that.
Then the parole officer could excuse that.
Yes, I would like a little bit of wiggle room. And that is my motion.
I will second.
Agree.
Okay, Mr. Gonzalez, I don't want to get cheesy here, but I think it's time that the system believe in you a little bit. We're giving you another chance here to return to community supervision. We're impressed with your work ethic, with your education ethic, the fact that you are staying clean on your analysis. But please, sir, please adhere to the conditions set by your parole officer. We want to see you succeed out there. We're not kidding. These aren't just words. You up to it?
Yes, sir. Everything I've told you here, they're not just words either, man. I'm excited to get out there and work and go to school. It's what I love to do.
All right, sir. Any further information that needs to be added? Okay. This concludes our hearing. Talk with your CO3. I know that there's some out-processing issues when someone's returned to community supervision. It doesn't happen overnight. But please talk to your CO3 if you have any questions. And we wish you the best of luck. We don't want to see you again before this board, sir.
You won't?
You can do it, man.
Yes, I will.
All right.
Thank you. I appreciate the chance.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.